Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports of the Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm going to get to that in a few seconds, how I'm doing, man. I'll give you a clue. It's about one of my losing teams.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that, folks. You know, first of all, I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this show. And on today's show, it ain't gonna be anything positive, especially when it comes to my teams. I'm gonna talk about the Mets season, mercifully, you know, put out of its misery. You know, I'm gonna get into that. The MLB race, the actual MLB playoff race with the teams who are trying to compete. I'll get into that as well. The NBA playoffs right here with the Lakers, they're at the brink of potentially winning this, you know, ending this series, you know, as we speak. Against the Nuggets, and then also that, you know, we're also going to talk about the Celtics and you know, Heat series, and then of course we'll talk about you know, everything else that's going on in the world of sports, including wrestling as well. So you know, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk any of these sports topics and more. You know, we'd love to hear from you. But with that said, let's talk about the Mets. You know, basically, I mean, what can I say, man? What can I say that I haven't said about the Mets in the past 4 years? You know, they don't make it to the playoffs. You know, I mean, stop me if you haven't heard this before. You know, they have an inconsistent offense with runners in scoring position. Their starting rotation is decimated. They have a rookie manager making rookie mistakes. Yeah, I'm gonna get to this game, man. I'm gonna get to this game. Believe me. And we have a doubleheader, so we're gonna get to this, man. We're definitely gonna get to this, man. Man, I don't even know where to start. This season, man, it's a miracle in itself that we actually had a baseball season, because obviously, you know, because of the pandemic, but man, this season, man, I'm literally speechless. The Mets, they had like three managers before this season started. They had Mickey Callaway, who's the worst manager in sports, let alone baseball. You had Carlos Beltran coming in, you know, a Met great who's gonna come and try to, you know, try to revive the franchise, but as a manager. And then, of course, the whole, you know, Astros saga. I don't even remember what kind of gate it was called. It's just this whole season has been just a whole one big soap opera. Then you get Luis Rojas. You know, who, I mean, he shows flashes. He shows potential of potentially being a good manager, but, you know, I'm sorry to say this, he's not ready. You know, he's not ready to be the manager. And the problem is, I could live with a rookie manager if you have a seasoned veteran GM. And Brody Van Wagenen is not that. You know, I like Brody Van Wagenen's boldness, of being aggressive and all that stuff. But you know, there's a point when you have to be aggressive, and there's a point when you have to just observe the situation and not do a move that will set the organization back. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So basically, he made a blockbuster move last year. He got Cano and Diaz. Obviously, Cano is a Hall of Famer. Has a brilliant year this year. No complaints about Cano this year. Diaz, as a matter of fact, he bounced back. He started off horribly this year. Obviously, he had a horrible season last year in his first season as the Mets. He rebounded, lately. But man, I mean, this game one of the doubleheader was the whole 2020 Mets in a nutshell. DeGrom, I mean, this guy legit should be a Hall of Famer. Did he have a good game today? No, he did not have a good game today. Even though he had a horrible game, he went 5 innings, struck out 10. He became, let me see. He has 46 strikeouts. So he ties Dwight Gooden for the second on the all-time Met list. With the most starts with a strikeout. Only, of course, when you're talking about Met highlights, franchise highlights, season highlights. When you're talking about which Met has the most this in the pitching, it can only be one man. And, of course, you know who that is. That is – I'm waiting for you, Mac.
Oh, you waiting for me to answer?
Yes. If they're talking about season highs or franchise highs when it comes to the Mets, when it comes to pitching, the first name that always comes up.
DeGrom.
No, I'm talking about historically. When you think of Met highlights, as a pitcher, franchise records or season records as a pitcher. Who's the first
Seaver.
There you go. So
yeah.
Seaver, he leads the Mets all time with 60 games. He has 60 games with at least 10 strikeouts. So
right.
After today, DeGrom, he ties with Doc Gooden with 46, which is second of all time. But
Congrats.
The problem is, yeah, congratulations to him. Problem is, he doesn't get any run support whatsoever. So he knew coming into this game he had to be perfect. He had to throw this dude would have to throw a no-hitter or at the very minimum a complete game shutout for him to even have a chance, for him to have a shot to go to win a three-peat, a statistic that no Met has ever done before. And after this performance, unfortunately, that record is still not in jeopardy anymore. Because, I mean, you had to have seen this game. They lost yesterday. Wait, I'm trying to think. This whole season has been a blur. They lost yesterday. Yes, they did. They lost yesterday, but Padres upset the Giants to win that game, which for one day, the Mets had an outside chance of going into the postseason, but they had to win out and have a prayer to get there, which, in Mets recent history, I mean, as you can see, they haven't made the playoffs in 4 years. Historically, Mets, that to me, they are the best expansion team in the history of the game. You cannot even dispute this. The first three times the Mets made it to the postseason, they've went to the World Series. 69, prior to 69, Mets was the laughing stock of the league, but yet they were lovable losers. They drew millions of fans you know, every year, even though the Mets were a horrible team. But they drew fans. The fandom was rewarded. The Mets fans were rewarded for their faithfulness with that team, even though they were lovable losers because obvious team of their own, since the Giants and the Dodgers took their ball and went to California. So, 69, they weren't expected to do anything, even though they had the great pitching. They shocked the world. They won 100 games. They defeated a Hall of Fame stacked Orioles teams with Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson, Jim Palmer, and the rest, and Earl Reaver as their manager. So they beat that team in five after losing the first game. So, and then, of course, 73, similar thing. The Mets wasn't expected to make it. They shocked the world. They make it to the playoffs. They lose in seven to Reggie Jackson, Catfish Hunter, and the rest of the Oakland A's dynasty team of that time. Then 86, I mean, all I have to say is game six, game seven, you guys already know the deal with that. No team has that much success. You know what I mean? When the Mets have good seasons, I mean, it's historic. When the Mets go to the playoffs, it's a historic time because they rarely make it to the postseason, and when they make it, they make the most of it. However, for you to get those lean, wonderful years, you got to go through a lot of crap as a fan. You're gonna go through these horrible games of Mets coming close to making it to the playoffs, and then they blow their chance, like 07, 08. I mean, 5 years ago was the last time they went to the World Series, and it seems like 2015 was 15 years ago. This team has fallen from that time. Yes, they have, you know, potential. They have some building blocks for the coming years. But the problem that has been, you know, plaguing the Mets for so many years, especially these last 3 years, is that the Mets haven't shown Jacob DeGrom any run support whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? You could probably count on three fingers in recent history that the Mets actually scored double-digit runs for Jacob DeGrom on the mound. You know what I'm saying? But this game summarized the whole year. The Mets had a 2-0 lead. Wilson Ramos, you know, who had a very good career as a big leaguer, but you know. Defensively, he can't cut it anymore. I think he just had another pass ball as I'm speaking right now. he can't throw nobody out. And I mean, come on. I mean, we all know historically the Mets, if for the past 20 years, they haven't had, they people run on them. You know, ever since, you know, even with Piazza, who obviously I love Piazza, you know, that's the guy who got me, you know, to follow the Mets, and I've been with the Mets ever since. So I this is all love. But I'm saying for the past 20 years, people have been running, stealing bases on the Mets. But at least with Piazza, he was a Hall of Fame guy. You know, whatever he, you know, even when he gives up, he doesn't throw people out. You know, that's his only weakness as a player. You know what I mean? Other than that, he's a great catcher. You know, he calls a good game, you know. But he didn't even allow all these wild pitches. He was a good catcher. I mean, his kryptonite was throwing out runners, which is obviously something Ramos has had ever since he's been on the Mets. I mean, before he was the Mets, when he was with the Nationals, he was a very good player, you know, very good catcher. Unfortunately, the Mets, you know, they got him a few years too late, you know. But you know, to his credit, he did hit a 2-1 home run. I'll give him that. So the Mets had a 2-0 lead. Then it became a 2-1 lead because I was talking to my father during the game, and you know, I was like, he was talking about, you know, Stevenson. I'm like, I've never even seen this guy. Hopefully, he doesn't do anything in the game that will make me remember him. And like a sitcom, it's out of here. He hits a home run, and I'm like, oh man, this is what I was talking about. So now it's a 2-1 lead. 2-1 lead. So I'm getting worried here, because I knew in order for DeGrom to get a chance to have a three-peat at the Cy Young Award, he has to throw a complete game. He has to throw a complete game, shutout ball. Shutout ball was out of the question after that. Then let's see what happened. Rosario, who lost his starting shortstop job to Jimenez, who got hurt. Basically he's done for the rest of the year. The season ends tomorrow for the Mets anyway. But in any case, and Conforto, he a few days ago his season ended out. You know, that's a tough break, you know, for Conforto. Hopefully he'll be back and ready, next year. But back to this game, Rosario, he hits a home run, 3-1 lead. So you're just hoping and praying that Mets can just somehow hold on to this lead and find a way to tack on runs. Because, you know, in that game, they kind of had Surge on the ropes a little bit with his pitch count. So, you know, basically, they allowed a wild pitch that scored it 3-2. And initially, when the second one scored, I momentarily forgot about the Rosario home run. So I'm thinking the game is tied. And then afterwards, and then the floodgates happened, man. I think DeGrom probably struck out the first guy or so in the, I think it was the, probably the third or fourth, no, the fourth inning, I think it was. Yeah, that was the fourth inning. And basically, Stevenson, there goes that man again. he hits a ball, a deep drive. Dom Smith is going back on the ball. He's still chasing after the ball. The ball hits off his glove. He hits chest first, then face first. He had like a whiplash. It slammed right into the wall, lying on the wall. Then they show the Stevenson. He's on second, rounding third. Before he even touched third base, I'm like, oh man, he scored an inside the park home run. Because throughout this whole time, Dom Smith was knocked out, man. And everybody was trying to chase out the ball. Sure enough, the game is tied. 3-3, actually. And then afterwards, you know, that basically our chances of winning the game, our chance of DeGrom winning a Cy Young, it all went up in smoke. It with one play, basically. I mean, there was all those other plays were warning signs of this game, but just that play right there, you know. And it's not Dom Smith's fault trying to hustle after the ball. He's not a natural outfielder. He's a first baseman playing outfielder, so obviously it's not his fault. But that right there just showed, man, like whatever could go wrong, could go wrong. It's like, the Mets can never win a game with Jacob DeGrom on the mound. And then afterwards, they got out of the inning. It was top fourth. Cano hits a ball that was this close to being a home run. That would have gave the Mets a 4-3 lead and would have gave DeGrom a shot to win the game. But of course, in Mets fashion, They put people on base. They got people in scoring position, and of course, they don't do nothing. Scherzer basically gets himself out of the inning, and you know, the bottom fourth took the lead. And you know, let me do the math in my head. Let me see. Trying to think in my head. No, this would have to be the sixth. They took the lead in the sixth. So it's like the first two innings, DeGrom's pitch count was low. Within the last three innings, the two or three innings, he threw over like 80 something pitches, and he finished the game with like at least 111 pitches. Like, It was crazy. It was just a horror filled game.
Man, you mentioned earlier about how the Mets have fallen from grace, going to the World Series in 2015, and now, you know, can't even make the playoffs in a short season. You go back, look at that team from 2015. I mean, guys like Lucas Duda, Daniel Murphy,
Cespedes.
Got Cespedes in the trade that year, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, where are those guys now? You know, those guys are pretty much gone.
Well, most
know?
Of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Conforto's probably the only guy and DeGrom on that team. I mean, Familia came back.
Yeah.
You know.
Harvey's gone.
Harvey's trying to resuscitate his career. Think with the Angels, but no, Royals actually. But he
Granderson.
Didn't pitch. Yeah, Granderson retired.
Yeah. But they need guys like that again, you know? They need
gutty,
gritsy guys like that again, you know, because those guys,
yeah.
You know, Granderson, Daniel Murphy, those guys, you know, were gritty guys.
Yeah.
You know, they need to establish that identity again. It's like that
yep.
15 team.
Exactly. And that's hopefully where it comes in, because Steve Cohen, he confirmed a few days ago that if he does get approved by Major League Baseball, you know, the 23 out of the 29 owners approve, if he gets approved as the new Mets owner, he's going to hire Sandy Alderson, you know, a blast from the past.
Again?
To be but they're going to hire him to be the team president, and then he would have the choice whether to fire Brody Van Wagenen, you know, retain Brody Van Wagenen, or hire somebody else to be the new GM. So, yeah. So, basically, all the guys that you mentioned in 2015 were guys that, you know, were on that National League pennant team that either he drafted or, you know, was from the, you know, Manaea's era. So, yeah, hopefully that happens. Hopefully Cohen does get the votes to go in. And, you know, people are thinking like maybe, you know, he's hiring the guy because obviously he's, I'd say a Hall of Fame executive, baseball executive. And you know, he's, especially with the Wilpons, you know, he did the most he can with a low payroll. And obviously he won a championship with the Oakland A's in 89. And, you know, he was, you know, the GM of the team where they went to three straight World Series, you know, in a losing effort against the Dodgers in 88, which was the last Dodger championship. 89, they won against the Giants. And 90, which they lost to the Reds, which was also the Reds' last championship so far. So I mean, and then he took over the Padres, you know, which you know, the Padres lost to the Yankees in 98, which I'm pretty sure you're very familiar with that season.
Oh yeah,
because that's Yankee. That's one of the Yankee fans' favorite seasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, they definitely need a guy who they need a guy with experience. And yeah, man, enough with this experiment. You know, you can't have essentially a second year GM and a rookie manager, and then you fired you hire a rookie manager after you fired. Your rookie manager who didn't even get a chance to play, and he's replacing another manager who was in his second year, who was a former pitching coach in Mickey Callaway. Like the MLB has to approve this deal, man, because I mean, the Mets, I mean, they've been long suffering. I mean, it's, I mean, like, you know, when the Mets are horrible is when you're watching something to escape the horrible Mets season that you have, and whether you're watching video games or news, they're taking cheap shots at the Mets. You know what I mean? Obviously, you expect that on, you know, you're watching the news or you're watching sports stuff. But when you're watching other stuff that's, like, totally out of, you know, sports, and then they're taking cheap shots at the Mets, I mean, come on. That just shows you how bad they've fallen, man. They need yeah. they need Cohen to get, you know, approved. Because not only would it improve one of your flagship franchises, you know, obviously in the National League, a team with name recognition, it also promotes all the other teams, because if the Mets can make $2.4 billion, then when all these other teams sell, they'll make more too.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely need some new direction. And, you know, Steve Cohen might bring that leadership that the Mets need right now.
Desperately need. You need to add desperately and underline that. Put down bold letters, italics,
yeah.
red letters. Desperately need it. They desperately need it. That's all I have to say about that, because oh yeah, I didn't even mention the end of the something that really the thing that PO'd me the most about this game. Game one. I'm not even gonna talk about game two, you know. I'm not even gonna talk about that one. Even though we lost 5-3. I'm not even gonna talk about that. But game one, Luis Rojas, he did his best Mickey Callaway impression. The Mets were down. Let me see. The Mets was down. No, actually, it was 3-3 at this point. There was runners at the corners, if I remember me right. He brings in Diaz, a guy last year who had a horrible year, coming off his best season 2 years ago. The guy, he's pitched his credit. In this, I guess you could say second half, so even though we had a 60-year season, you know, he's pitched a lot better. He's been more reliable. He's been striking out people left and right. You know, he's been saving games. You know what I mean? But they bring him in on the road in Washington, not in for a safe situation. There's runners at the corners. I think nobody out, if memory serves me right. Or maybe it was just one out. And they bring in a dude who's wild. And they bring him into the game. He gives up the hit, and you know that's basically you know the lead run. And then afterwards, they brought in Harrison. Basically, you know he got the save. What was Rojas thinking? You don't waste your closer on the road. What about by some miracle, once the Mets realize, oh, snap, Jacob DeGrom isn't on the mound anymore. That means we could score a run again. What about if they would have scored a run in extra innings, which is a lot more easier to do it now because, you know, in the, in the bottom of the ninth, after the ninth inning, even though this is a seven-inning doubleheader, you know, in extra innings, you start off with a runner in scoring position. So I mean, it's a dumb. What's your thoughts on this? Do you think it's good to bring in a closer in a tie game, runners in the corner, on the road?
No.
What was the thought process on that? Oh, I'm gonna bring in my best pitcher so we can stop them from scoring. Okay, very good. But what about if you guys take a lead? Who's gonna close the game?
Yeah, who's gonna close the game? Yeah.
Jeez, like seriously?
You know, this season, it went by quickly. It was a short season. But, you know, and obviously the Mets are not going to make the playoffs. But do you think it would have been different if Stroman and Cespedes hadn't, you know, resigned?
Yeah, I think they definitely could have. Well, Cespedes, I mean, he was he looked washed up in those plate appearances. If Cespedes was, you know, he showed flashes like the first game, if he was somewhat to his 2015 role, he could have definitely helped. Strowman, you know, opting out, I mean, you know, that helped, that hurt the rotation in addition to Syndergaard getting hurt. But Strowman, unlike Cespedes, I don't fault Strowman. I mean, Strowman, he has shown, you know, that he's a gamer. You know, he's a guy who wants to be in the spotlight. So for him to opt out of the thing, you know, he must have really had concerns about COVID, which, you know, which was right, because shortly after he left, you know, there was a Met player and a Met a person in the coaching staff that got sick. I think it was Thomas Nido, I think, was on that had it, if memory serves me right. And I forgot who.
Well, breaking news: Lakers just beat the Nuggets behind LeBron's 38 points and some clutch shots in the fourth quarter. So Lakers advanced to the NBA Finals for the first time since 2010, in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So they and this is LeBron's 13 that he's reached the NBA Finals with, and the ninth time out of 10 years he's appeared in the finals.
Yep.
So.
Congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
Much to my chagrin, but you know, this is what was expected. You know, congratulations to the Lakers. They they did what they had to do and knock off the Cinderella team, Denver Nuggets. And, you know, they advanced to another NBA Finals. And now, LeBron, he's going to try to win his fourth championship and basically win a title for every team he's suited up for, which, I mean, that's an impressive feat within itself. So, I'm not a fan of the Lakers, but, you know, I gotta be professional. You know, I gotta give credit where it's due, and you know, they deserve the congratulations. You know, they're behind. You know, they were the favorite to go to the finals, and you know they made it happen. You know.
Yeah. They're not gonna wait for the win of the Heat Celtics game.
Mm-hmm.
And right now that series is 3-2 in favor of the Heat.
Yep, the Heat. Yep. And the Heat they have a chance tomorrow night. They're gonna be home and they're gonna try to close it out there. But you know, they're also facing a team of destiny as well. You know, the Celtics. You know, if the Celtics win tomorrow night, they're gonna win Game 7 and then we're gonna have another Lakers versus Celtics NBA Finals. You know,
I bet on the Celtics before the series, and it was looking good when the Heat went up 3-1. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. If Celtics win Game 6, I think they have a great chance to win Game 7.
Yeah, you. I mean, we've been doing this show for 11 years. You know what team I compare the Lakers to of basketball?
Well, the Yankees, yeah.
Of course. But I was just thinking a few days ago.
Well,
some
people can say the Celtics is the Yankees.
Well, yeah. I mean, Celtics, obviously, they're the winningest
team.
Yeah,
more championships.
By one title, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Celtics have 17, Lakers have 16, 4 now. Have I given – wink, wink, have I given you guys a clue? But, you know what baseball team I compare the Celtics to? It just popped in my head a few days ago. There's one baseball team that that is very similar to the Celtics.
Well, the Yankees.
Well, I mean, obviously you could say the Yankees, but I would say there's another baseball team that I think is more like the Celtics than the Yankees. Even though you the Yankees obviously
more
would
like
be
the Celtics. I mean, Celtics have won a lot of championships. Who else has won a lot of other than the Yankees? I guess. Who's another team besides the Yankees? Wow,
I'll give you
question.
A clue.
That's a good question. Please don't say the Mets.
No, I'm not going to say the Mets.
Okay, I was about to say
I'm not going to say the Mets. Come on. I love the Mets.
The Dodgers.
Dodgers would have been a second guess.
Oh.
I would say an even better
Cardinals?
Guess. There you go. That's the perfect team right there. Celtics and Cardinals are very similar. They win a lot of championships. They have their own style of doing things. It's like a hard-nosed tradition type of championship, you know,
right.
How they win it. Lakers and Yankees, they have history. They have tradition, but they also got style. They got flair. You know what I mean? You got the Showtime Lakers. You got the Yankees, you know, they bomb – like.
Murder's
Celtics,
Row, Bronx Bombers,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Celtics and Cardinals, it's like they're hard nosed. They win. The Yankees
right.
and the Yankees and the Lakers, they have the star players. They have the best players, like first ballot Hall of Famers, like to a T. Those teams are. They don't only win championships. They win it with flair and dramatics and like. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm talking about. You talk about the R and the mystique of the Yankees all the time. You know what I'm saying? The Lakers have that with you know, an NBA. It's like any team, it don't matter how bad – like I was saying, like, who was it, last year when LeBron came to the team. They're like, okay, LeBron came to this horrible team, man. He ain't going to win a championship. If you go back to this, I'm telling you, folks, Flick, go back to the episode when he came to the Lakers. I said that, yeah, the team is bad, but not only is he LeBron James, he'll attract anybody to come to his team. Two, it's the Lakers. Lakers is the flagship team of the NBA. Celtics is an extremely close second, even though Celtics have one more championship than the Lakers. Right now, as we speak, which I think is going to change after this playoff to the NBA Finals. But yeah, that's my thought right there. You know, those four teams, man, those are the gold standards of my two favorite sports. You know, that's basically all I have to say about that. And these teams are the winningest teams in their sports. Yankees have 27. Clippers, what am I talking about? Cardinals, I think they have 11, which is the most in National League history. Of course, the Lakers have 16. Let me do the math in my head. 16 until this NBA Finals is over. And then, of course, the Celtics has 10, which... You know, I think, you know, push comes to shove, I think Heat is gonna lose this series, even though they're gonna be at home, gonna be at home. They got, you know, the Heat has a 3-2 lead. They got Pat Riley, who also won a championship with the Lakers, the Showtime Lakers that I was mentioning. You know, but yeah, man, when the Lakers and the Heat are in the finals, man, Lakers and Celtics are in the hunt for a title run. It's extremely hard to knock those guys off. You're gonna have to be a team of destiny to do that.
Well, you know, right now Lakers, you know, they've been playing good defense. You know, they got LeBron and AD, and they got some good supporting players, so they're gonna be tough to stop in the NBA finals.
No doubt. I mean, the Bucks, you know, everybody was thinking the Bucks was going to make it to the finals, but, you know, obviously that didn't happen. But Never bet against the Lakers. I can tell you that. You never bet against the Lakers or the Celtics. If those guys are fighting in for you know, in the postseason, most times they're not. History's on their side.
Yeah.
So, I can't congratulate the Celtics. I guess they staved up. They prevented for one game only at least their elimination, which to me. Heat, man, they had the chance to knock them out. With a team like that, you gotta find a way. I know it's in Boston, but you gotta find a way to close it out.
Well, technically, you know, they're playing on the same champ, but you know, it's really no team has home court since they're playing in the same gym.
Well, yeah, I know the bubble. I know it's a bubble. But
yeah, but
I'm just saying, it was technically, a Celtic home game.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't have Celtic fans there because obviously it's in the bubble.
Right. Yeah, it's just not the same,
but,
you know. Right now, it's just throw it out the window, home court, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever team plays best, you know, is gonna win, and hopefully Celtics. And I think they're. They're more talented than Heat, but they got to start playing like it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to win these next two games. And I would love to see a Lakers-Celtics matchup. That would be great. But I think if the Heat play the Lakers, the Heat, they don't stand a chance, to be honest.
Nah, they don't. They don't. They really don't. I definitely agree with you. But, yeah. That's my prediction. Celtics will upset the Heat and win the Eastern Conference Finals and battle the Lakers yet again in an epic NBA Finals.
Yeah. Hopefully that's the case, and I win that money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and speaking of Pat Riley, Tom Thibodeau, He says that he's modeling his his coaching style from Riley, you know, ever since their days. When Riley was in New York.
Yeah, hopefully Thibodeau can bring that old school defense to the Knicks. That's what the Knicks
mm-hmm.
need.
Yep, more than ever. Because there's no superhero that's gonna come and save them. They gotta draft well. They want to attract stars to come here. They gotta draft well and they gotta gel. And then that's basically how they're gonna get somebody. You know,
definitely.
Nobody's coming here. If you're gonna get a star player, you're gonna have to trade. And if you're gonna trade, you cannot give up Mitchell Robinson or R.J. Barrett. You know. That's just the way it is. But I do like that Thibodeau has some coaches that have success in college and also in the league, which, you know, basically they have guys who have a great history of player development. So, you know, I look forward that hopefully that these Knicks players can take their game to the next level.
Yeah, I hope so.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. Speaking of the other team in town, in the Garden, well, you know, before, you know, the pandemic came, the New York Rangers, man.
Oh, the Rangers, yeah.
Yeah, they did a stunner, man. They traded the longtime their longtime player, Mark Stahl. You know, the defenseman, he played 13 years with the Rangers, but you know they traded him away to the Detroit Red Wings, along with the a 2021 second round pick, and in exchange they're gonna get future considerations. Yeah, man, it's I mean, this is, you know, 10 years with this team, and then they trade them away. So
yeah,
it kind of makes
sounds like when Knicks traded away Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, man.
Or
I
actually,
mean,
no. Was it a trade, or did he sign? Did he just sign?
No, they did trade away Patrick Ewing. Funny how you said that.
Yeah.
I think it happened on 20 years ago. I think it was.
Oh yeah.
I think I read it was September. I think I read it was like September 21.
Yeah, sure.
2000. So yeah, it's like a 20th anniversary. A few days after the 20th anniversary, when Knicks traded away Patrick Ewing, and as you know, the franchise has never recovered from that trade. I mean, what can you say, man? Like, so yeah, this looks like this is basically going to this might be a rebuilding year for them, and you know, this looks like definitely they're gonna get rid of Lundqvist, you know.
Yeah, Lundqvist, you know, right now he's past his prime, you know. But he had some great years with the Rangers, you know. Got us to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Some playoff appearances here and there. Just
right.
Wish he could have won the championship, you know, with
I
the
know.
Rangers.
He looks like he's, you know, the Patrick Ewing of the, you know, the Rangers.
Yeah, or some people would probably say Mark Messier, maybe.
No, but yeah. Mark Messier, he won the. Well, yeah, Mark Messier.
But Messier did win a championship.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's more. He at the time he was definitely Ewing, you know, because he was the captain. But unfortunately for Ewing, unlike Mark Messier, he delivered on, you know, his guarantee. Now that it was Ewing's fault, you know, but you know, basically he promised a championship, and unfortunately, you know, he never had the pieces together to help make it happen.
Supporting cast.
Yeah. He had a great supporting cast, but he unfortunately didn't have that, you know, bona fide Hall of Famer guy, you know, with him his whole career. You know, he's had some great players here and there, you know, like Jackson and, you know, X-Men, all these other players, but he never had, like, a guy, throughout his whole career. He had Bernard King briefly when he just came out, you know, like in the 80s, but he never had a Pippen-type player that was with him the whole time, you know, but, it is what it is. Shifting gears to the Jets, the Jets season has been horrible, and you know, a lot of people are having doubts about Darnold. Even, you know, the greatest quarterback in Jets history, Joe Namath, he's starting to wonder about Darnold because Darnold, he's making, you know, basically the same mistakes he was making in his rookie year, you know, coming in his third year. So, you know, Darnold, he has to turn it around, man. And it just,
it's not all of his fault. I mean,
well, of course not. Yeah.
The coaching has been bad.
Yeah, that's you stole the words right out of my mouth. They should have never hired Gase to begin with, man. They had a chance with Mike McCarthy, and they just let him go.
Yeah, I mean, it's the coaching has not been great. I mean, some of the play calling, you know, and letting some guys go, man. I mentioned last week they should have kept Robbie Anderson at wide receiver. He was. I thought he had him and Darnold had a connection there, you know,
mm-hmm.
but. They should have kept him, but, you know, right now, Darnold doesn't have much to work with. I mean, yeah, Le'Veon Bell has been injured. Crowder, he got injured. So he doesn't really have that many weapons right now to work with.
Mm-hmm.
He's like on an island by himself. So he's not I mean, he's partly to blame, but, you know, again, he's a young quarterback, so he's still learning himself. But, Jets have a long way to go, as are my Giants. Giants are in the same boat, you know. Young quarterback, injuries, a lot of injuries. You know, he had Saquon Barkley. Looks like he might be out for the season. And we have Deion Lewis right now. And we just signed Devontae Freeman, who is a free agent. He was a former running back for Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So maybe he'll step in the starting role and hopefully he'll contribute. But, both teams are not looking good in football.
And then you guys are going to be facing the 49ers.
Oh, yeah. 49ers had the 49ers faced the Jets last week, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Don't remind me. Yeah, the 49ers show why they're the defending NFC champions.
Yeah, they have a very good defense and they got a good team. And they were complaining last week of a slippy field at MetLife. There's a few injuries and they blamed it on the field at City Field at MetLife, I should say.
MetLife, yeah.
So hopefully that's not the case when they play at the MetLife again tomorrow. But
they whooped the Jets 31-13.
Another ass whooping might be coming for this New York team with the Giants. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
the Giants are going to try to rebound from their 17-13 loss to the Bears. So
yeah, hopefully he played better than the Jets did last week, but. Right
I don't
now,
think it'll be hard.
Injuries, I don't know.
Yeah, the Jets are going to be on the road against the Colts, you know, so good luck with that. But, we'll see what happens. But, quickly back on the MLB race, congrats to your Yankees, man. You guys are obviously, as expected, going to the playoffs. And DJ LeMahieu, man, the MVP. I mean, this guy, he's the Montel Vontaze Porter of the New York Yankees, you know?
Yeah, I've been telling you, man. Don't disrespect this guy. I've been telling you. This guy, he becomes the first player in the modern era to lead both leagues in batting average.
Yeah,
you know,
about to win that crown.
Yeah, it's a great feat. And this guy has been money at the leadoff spot. He was 4-for-5 today to, you know, clinch that batting title. But, yeah, he's been great all year. Him and Luke Voit, they've been our MVPs.
That's what I was about to say, too. Stole the words right out of my mouth. You know, Luke Voit, man, he provided the jolt to the to the Yankee offense. You know, he hit his 22nd home run coming into today.
Yeah.
So
he's a league in baseball in home runs.
Yep. I guess he got motivated, you know, seeing the other, you know, a superstar player, you know, in the other team in New York leading the league in, you know, home runs. He's like, man, I gotta set the world right and let the Yankees lead in the lead in home runs as usual.
Yes, he's had a great year, man. For without him, I don't know where we are, you know, this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he carried us offensively. Definitely our MVP, I would say.
Yeah, for real. So yeah, those guys are you know, getting legit milestones even in a crazy season. You know that that has been the 2020 season. So it'd be interesting to see what their numbers would have been in a full season. But
yeah
they've been phenomenal.
Luke Voit was on pace to hit 60, I think.
Yeah. But so as expected, the Yankees clinch. The Marlins, they clinched a wild card spot against when they faced the Yankees on Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what that means? the Marlins, every time the Marlins win a wild card, they win the World Series. So,
oh yeah, that's true.
That's something to keep your eye on, folks.
And they have Jeter. Jeter owns the team.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's.
They'll have some Yankee magic along with Mattingly. He's managing the team. So. They got Yankee Stadium South down there. Well, most of their fans are Yankee fans anyway, so.
Well, yeah, pretty much Miami,
Yankee and Mets fans down there, so.
Yeah, well, right now, if the playoffs started, the Marlins would face the Cubs in the wild card. Yankees would face either the White Sox or the Twins in the wild card.
Wow, Marlins Cubs, man, they should have Steve Bartman throughout that game.
I know, right? Yeah. It's like a 2003.
And have Moises Alou catch the ball.
I know. Flashback. I'm sure Cubs want to get revenge for that.
Oh, man. And then that year, they, you know, the Marlins faced the Yankees, which, I mean, who knows? That might be the World Series right there.
You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Never know.
Well, Josh Brickett ain't there, so you guys got a shot.
Well, Josh Beckett and
Luis
some
Castillo.
Other guys. Yeah. That Marlins team was very good. I underestimate how much talent they had on that team.
I never do. Hello, I never underestimate the Marlins. I play against those teams all the time. Even when those teams are scrubby, like they always rise up to the occasion when they face the Mets. Hello, yeah. I mean, remember what do you call the season? The season 2007-2008, I forgot what they called when the Mets collapsed those 2 years. I mean,
oh yeah,
yeah. And this was before the collapses in 2007-2008. I never the teams in our division, no matter how horrible they are, they always play. They always play up, you know, facing a New York team.
Yeah.
So I never count them out. I'm not surprised at, you know, how well they're doing, because the Marlins, they you know, after they win a championship, they always break up their teams. But the only good thing that the Marlins have is that they're good talent evaluators. Even when they get rid of blow up their whole team, they always get good prospects back. So
yeah,
that's why I'm not surprised that they they're a playoff team. Because it was bound to happen.
Yeah, and they've had a lot of talented players over the years. Think about it. They've had Hanley Ramirez. They've had Miguel.
The late, great Jose Fernandez.
Yeah.
Cabrera. Luis Castillo.
Juan Pierre.
Beckett.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had a lot of great players.
Jeff Conine. Yeah, they had a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Delgado.
Yeah.
It was a few years, or was it a year? No, I think they only got him for a year, I think, if I'm sure right, before he got traded to the Mets.
But they can never keep these guys.
Yeah, they even have Jose Reyes, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the problem. They can never keep these guys. That's why they don't make the postseason that often.
I know. A weird franchise.
Oh yeah,
but they made. I mean, to their credit, they made the most of it. They won two championships, and a wild card. I mean, they haven't won the division yet, but they, most importantly, they won the championship twice. So.
Oh yeah, you know they don't. They have the wild card this year, so you never know.
Yeah, I know.
What happened.
Never know. So, yeah, that's your guys' problems. That's not our problems. You know.
Well, first they have to get through the other teams in the National League before we talk about World Series.
Yep. Hey, look at the Nationals. The Nationals didn't have no bullpen, but they had the three starters, and they had a good offense, and they won it. So
yeah,
who knows?
Teams get hot.
And now the Nationals, they're playing golf with the Mets. They're playing exhibition games, you know. And after Sunday, they're gonna play golf. So, well, actually, now it's Sunday now. So, it is what it is, man.
Yep.
But yeah, let's shift gears to well, I guess before we go to that, Angels are fighting for their playoff spot. Oh yeah, another thing is Trevor Bauer. He should, you know, he should win the you know, the Cy Young Award in the National League. And yeah, he said something very interesting. Like he was saying, like, basically that he thinks, you know, a starting pitcher should sign a 1-year deal and you know, basically bet on yourself and try to get the highest payroll, you know, the salary for a year.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to have confidence in yourself for you to do that. I mean, he's a braver man than me. If I was a starting pitcher, I would sign for security. You know what I'm saying? Like year, you know, sign for years instead of one per year. If you think he could get the most money per year, average salary by going, you know, year per year and staying healthy, which is easily the big reason why I wouldn't sign year to year, unless if I, you know, I guess I'm over the hill and
it is a bit risky because the market changes.
Yeah, I would never do that unless if I had no choice. You know, I was you know, over the hill, and you know, people aren't gonna just give me a 2-year contract unless if it's a really horrible team. Then I would consider, you know, signing a year-to-year contract. But kudos to Bauer. He's going to make a lot of money, you know. And he might be either Garrett Cole's teammate or even better, maybe even Jacob deGrom's teammate, the guy who he's going to beat out for this Cy Young Award. So,
yeah, maybe.
Who knows? Guess we'll find out, you know, in the offseason. Or in the case, Mets regular season.
Yep.
But we'll see what happens. Let me see what else. Let's go back. Let's go to, you know, WWE. The Retribution finally signed a contract, and basically, you know, they had, you know, wrestlers change their names. Like Dominik Dijakovic, he's now T-Bar. They came up with some weird names. T-Bar, Slapjack, I think his name, the other one is called. Like, and I heard that rumors was that, you know, the wrestlers backstage were laughing at them. Retribution, man, like, WWE dropped the ball on that group already.
Well, I do. I am looking forward to seeing them square off with
the Hurt Business
soon.
Yeah, man, the Hurt Business, man. That's the best thing that's going on in Raw, maybe even in WWE. Like,
yeah.
And now it's like they're tweeners now, with this Retribution thing. They're not like heels anymore. They're like tweeners. They're like, you know, anti-heroes now. Like,
yeah, cause
they're
of
bullying
Retribution.
Yeah. But yeah, man, they gotta seriously contend for a title. But yeah, nice. Isn't Nice a champion tomorrow?
Yeah, Clash of the Champions is tomorrow. Yep.
Ah, crap. I was here. I guess it's kind of too late for me to do a preview. I guess the most important thing is that, you know, I think obviously Roman Reigns will retain the title.
Yeah, that most likely will happen. You mentioned Hurt Business' title. I mean, I think Lashley is probably going to beat Cruz for the U.S. Championship tomorrow.
Oh, no, he is the champion. He has to retain it.
Oh, right. He'll retain it. Yeah, you're right. He'll retain it. Yeah. He won't lose that title. And you might even see Alexander maybe compete for a title, you know,
yeah,
here soon.
Maybe the, let me think, probably the 24/7. Oh, yeah, he did win it before. Didn't he win it twice?
Probably. I think so. Or maybe him and Shelton Benjamin compete for the tag team titles.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing I haven't considered. Yeah, that's a good point.
Them against some Street Profits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to be fighting Garza.
Andrade and Garza.
Yeah, I think this time they'll finally win. The Garza and Andrade will finally win it.
Could happen. Could have a lot of title changes tomorrow.
And what was I going to say? One thing I noticed about the Andrade, it looks like he's finally using that signature move, that fake kick into the elbow. It looks like that might be his finisher now.
Oh.
Oh, you know, according to that, how that match finished last week. I mean, on Raw.
Right.
It looks like he might. It looks like that might be his finisher now. Because his finisher is usually the hammerlock DDT. But you know, he wasn't able to do it. He did the other move, and then afterwards. Garza did the one wing clipper move.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, Asuka's gonna be battling Zelina Vega for the women's championship. I think Asuka's gonna retain. Zelina Vega, I think maybe in her next opportunity she'll win the women's title.
Yeah, I don't see Asuka losing the title yet.
Mm-hmm. Got Drew McIntyre versus Orton. Ambulance match.
McIntyre's going to win that.
I think Orton will win it this time.
Still don't think McIntyre will lose until WrestleMania.
Yeah, you might have a point there. Bayley versus Nikki Cross. Bayley's going to win it. And this is who I'm talking about. Bayley's definitely going to hold on to the title until WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Nikki Cross, I think they're making Nikki Cross face her too many times, man. They're ruining Nikki Cross as a viable contender.
Yeah, Bayley's gonna hold that until that her big match with Sasha.
They're doing the same thing they did with Ryback and Braun Strowman prior to the COVID. It's like they're making these people fight, lose so many title opportunities. You're not gonna take them seriously.
Yeah,
Nia Jax, her and Shayna Baszler are gonna, put the title on the line against the Riot Squad. I think they're gonna retain it.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you got Cesaro Nakamura versus Lucha House Party. I think Cesaro and Nakamura is gonna retain it.
Yeah, they're not gonna lose that.
Yeah, this is gonna be an interesting matchup. Hardy versus AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn.
Yeah, that might be the best match of the night.
Yeah.
I could see AJ winning it.
Yeah, I think AJ will win. Because Jeff Hardy could win, but I don't see the point of them making him win it again. But I think he could. Sami Zayn winning it would be interesting because he's been, proclaiming himself as still the champion because he never had the title loss because they vacated the title, because he didn't show up for COVID. So it would have been actually interesting to see him come, win the title and officially be the champion. That would definitely show that WWE didn't have any hard feelings towards him, even though he left with the title. But WWE look like they're being petty, so I don't think they're going to put the title on him, back on him. I mean, Roman Reigns, he left too. But, yeah, Roman Reigns, he's finally the heel. They're finally giving him the edge that WWE fans always wanted him to have. So, Roman Reigns, man, he's just going to destroy his cousin. And then apparently form a Samoan tag team, group with him.
Yeah, this is going to be like a squash match. It could be competitive, but I think it might be a squash match.
Yeah, man. Like, at the end of Raw, I thought Roman Reigns was going to spear him. But when they showed the camera of him doing the Superman punch, he looked like he jumped off the Titantron, the top of the Titantron, to do it. Like, he didn't even look like he came out of the he didn't even look like he came out of the you know, the gorilla position. Like, he just, he looked like he just jumped off, like he was like hiding from a tree and he just leaped.
Came out of nowhere.
Like, he did like a, instead of a Superman punch, he looked like he did like a like that double axe hammer, you know, off the top rope.
Yeah, the Macho Man.
Yeah, for real. Like, that was like funny how they showed that angle. But yeah, another interesting thing before that was Alexa Bliss, you know, getting possessed by Bray Wyatt, and you know, obviously she attacked Lacey Evans, hit the Sister Abigail, got you know, disqualified. But the interesting thing about it is when Roman Reigns came out with Paul Heyman, she was walking away and then she was like eerily staring at him, which is kind of,
I thought she was going to attack him.
Yeah, I thought she was going to attack him too, but it just showed you like how they're just showing you how, you know, like she's possessed by the Fiend, and how basically that's how the Fiend feels, because Fiend is still upset that he lost the title to him.
Yeah.
Because Alexa Bliss, regular Alexa Bliss wouldn't care about the title, you know, the universal title.
That spirit of Sister Abigail.
Yeah,
inhabiting the body of Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. You know, that could be it too. Because I was thinking it was the Fiend. Because that's what they were, you know, making us think. Maybe it could be Sister Abigail herself that's,
yeah,
creating her. But yeah, now they have to really show them, you know, her officially joining him. They can't be having all these teases. It's like, right now they have to pull it off, you know, that she's with him officially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they will soon.
Yeah, thinking that they'll do it soon is like hoping that they will end the Dominic Rey Mysterio Cesaro storyline. Oh, and remember, I was telling you guys this last week. I hate to say I told you so, but told you.
What?
The Aaliyah Mysterio storyline with Buddy Murphy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They saw that
and
now, coming.
And then Seth Rollins is acting like she's, you know, she's not Rey Mysterio's daughter and all that stuff. Some Maury Povich stuff. Yeah, I mean, come on, how many kids of his is they gonna be accusing of him not being the father? Come on, WWE. First is Jeff Hardy's DUI stuff. Now Rey Mysterio is not the father of his kids. Like,
some Maury Povich
stuff. It's like 2005. What is this? You know, they're pulling, rehashing old stories. I mean, I usually like rehashing old stories, but I mean, come on, they gotta be original here. And yeah, another thing is, I think, you know, Lashley will retain the United States title against Apollo. What about you?
Yeah, I think he'll retain it.
And AEW, switching to AEW, Cody Rhodes returned after Mr. Brody Lee retained the TNT title against Orange Cassidy. And let me see what else happened on AEW. Jericho is going to challenge one of the members from the Private Party group to a match. Trying to think what else happened.
Aren't they I heard that they're going to celebrate 30 years of Jericho, something like that.
Yes, right. They're going to do that. I think next week, I think.
Wow. This
oh, is that the
paper
duel?
I have to check that out if that's the case.
Dean Ambrose, well, now he's John Moxley. He's going to, he defended the title against Eddie Kingston. And now he's having a feud. He's the upcoming pay-per-view event. He's going to team up with Willie Hobbs and Darby Allin versus Team Taz, which has Ricky Starks and Brian Cage. And I'm trying to think who's the other third person. Oh yeah, what's his name again? Vance Archer, who's going to be managed by Jake the Snake Roberts. So basically, Taz and Jake the Snake Roberts have a unholy alliance where basically their guys are going to form an alliance and basically help, you know, Brian Cage is going to take the title off John Moxley. And if he does that, then Archer would have, you know, be the number one contender. So that's why they have that, you know, alliance. On, you know, TNA Impact News, they have, Ken Shamrock, he's going to be inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame, or the Impact Hall of Fame. And The Rock, he's going to actually make an appearance.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Most likely it's going to be, a tape recording, congratulating his friend, Ken Shamrock. That's still big news. The Rock appearing on a TNA broadcast, that's insane.
Wow.
That's insane. I don't know when that's going to go down, but whenever he gets inducted, which I assume is going to be probably Bound for Glory pay-per-view event, that's going to be an epic moment within itself. The Rock hasn't popped up on. The Rock hasn't popped up on WWE this year. Or did he? I don't think so. He popped up in that promo when they had yesterday on SmackDown where they had all the Samoans, talking about the upcoming Jey Uso and Roman Reigns match. Unless if I missed that part, I strongly doubt it. But yeah, he hasn't popped up on WWE programming this year, so that's definitely something interesting to watch. Anything you'd like to say?
Just check out my show IMAC, and come back here to check out Sports Over Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
You heard the man. Check out IMAC. Check out Sports Urban Legend. I'm here every Saturdays at 11. Of course, check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.